Good morning, Harvest Christian Church. Feel the energy coming in as each person comes in. You just kind of feel that coming in. And so you may be seated for just a few minutes, maybe a few minutes. We'll see how we go here. We want to open up, and we know the power of the Word and the Spirit, and so the Word is important. So I just wanted to read out of the first four chapters of Proverbs portions that emphasize the Word and how important the Word is. And so I'm going to read it out of the Passion, and then we'll see where Holy Spirit takes it next. So let's just pray first. Father, we welcome you. We thank you that you're already here. So now we engage with you. We engage with your presence. We engage with the atmosphere that's here in this place. And we thank you. We're not moved by what we see or feel. We are only moved by what the Spirit is leading us into. So Holy Spirit, lead us right now. Lead us where you want to take us. Lead us where the Father and Jesus are at, and so that we might be one with you. So we thank you this morning. We yield unto you. We present our bodies, the temple of Holy Spirit, unto you. And we thank you for filling us. Open the ears. That we might hear, open the eyes of our heart, that we might see, that we might be one with you, even Jesus, as you're one with the Father. And we thank you, we bless you, we honor you, we thank you for watching over your Word, and that it will not return unto you empty. It will fulfill what you, Father, are releasing into the atmosphere. So we declare it, we believe it, we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, come on in and be seated and just listen and let this, because I'm not going to read all four chapters. I'm going to read portions out of it, but the emphasis on these first four, and I love reading the Proverbs at the beginning of the month, because the first four just set the whole atmosphere for the whole month for me. It adjusts me back into the place I should be. And so I just want to just read some scripture and just let it get on the inside of you. Catch the importance of reading the Word every day. And so it starts off in Proverbs chapter 1 saying, here are kingdom revelations. Well, if we're going to be kingdom people, we need to have kingdom revelations, right? Not the revelations of man, but kingdom revelations. That means if they're kingdom revelations, they're revelations from the King. Amen. How many want revelations from the King? Well, if we're going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we need to have revelations from the throne. And so we can receive it. It says, here are kingdom revelations, words to live by. So it's not just revelations. Once the revelations, and we're living in an open heaven of revelations. You can listen to a lot of messages and get revelations, but then to shift it to words to live by. So, I mean, right off, Proverbs starts off just really powerful. Here are kingdom revelations, and these revelations are the King's words to live by. So I'm just going to emphasize every time it says words in there, because, you know, it's talking about his words. So it says, here are the kingdom revelations, words to live by, and words of wisdom to given to empower you to reign in life. So not only words to live by, but words to empower you. How many want to be empowered? Whoa. I mean, he lays it out here. You can't get away from this. Words to live by, and now revelations, wisdom given to empower you to reign. How many want to reign? We're more than conquerors. We're more than victorious. We're to reign as kings in this life. I never understood. That just popped in my mind. But I never understood my dad before we were born again. We'd buy these shirts and these t-shirts, and he says, King's kids. Well, you get that. You know, our last name is King. That was before we were born again. And then after I got born again, I said, wow, my dad was prophesying over us. No, it was our last name, King's Kids, amen. Words to reign in life. Written by Proverbs by Israel's King Solomon, David's son. Within these sayings, within these words, will be found the revelation of wisdom and the impartation of spiritual understanding. Use them as keys to unlock the treasures of true knowledge. How many want true knowledge?
Yes.
The words that he gives us are the revelations to unlock what's really going on. Oh boy, we go a long way. Those who cling to these words, notice, those who cling will receive discipline to demonstrate wisdom in every relationship and to choose what is right and just and fair. In other words, these words give you an open door to choose. You make the choice. And he's telling you these words will help you choose what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give you great skill to teach the immature and make them wise, to give the youth understanding of their design and destiny. Whoa. So you get these words, you're going to have the revelation you need to help the young in the spiritual things to mature and to find their destiny. I mean, they're looking for identity in this day and this hour. And the words of revelation that the King's given to us empowers us to help the young mature and find their destiny. Amen? I'm going to keep preaching because, man, they're coming in. Woo! Call them in. Okay? Keep preaching here. These revelations will break open your understanding to unveil deeper meanings of parables. So that's Proverbs chapter 1. It gives you the introduction right there, the first few verses. This is a kingdom revelations. This is the word of the King to help us to live this life, how to do it, but also to help others live life of the kingdom of God. So that's chapter 1. Chapter 2 starts off, my child, will you treasure my wisdom? Then and only then will you acquire it. And only if you accept my advice and hide it within you will you succeed. So train your heart to listen when I speak.
Yes.
It doesn't just come that he speaks and all of a sudden, oh, I get it. You train your heart to discern the voice of the Spirit. So as you discipline yourself to hear the voice of God and train your heart to hear his voice. Whoa.
Amen.
Wow, we might just stay right here and just preach all Proverbs today.
Do it.
So train your heart to listen. It doesn't come automatic. You got to train to hear. There's many voices out there. So if you want to hear the voice of God, you have to train your heart to hear. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear. And only if you accept my advice and hide it within you will you succeed. So once you train your heart to listen, that's not the end of it. Then you have to train yourself to do what it says. Then you'll succeed. So train your heart to listen when I speak and open your spirit wide to expand discernment. And then pass it on to your sons and your daughters. Yes, cry out for comprehension and intercede for insight. For if you keep seeking it like a man seeking for sterling silver, searching in hidden places for cherished treasure, then you will discover the fear of the Lord and find true knowledge. Wisdom is a gift from a generous God, and every word he speaks is full of revelation. So you train your heart to speak, but every word he speaks. Don't take light of the small words. Peter walked on water on come. One word from the throne will cause you to move in miracles. And then chapter 3, he starts off with, my child, if you truly want a long and satisfying life. How many want a long and satisfying life? I mean, not just a long life. I don't want just a long life. I want a satisfying long life. And he says, never forget the things that I've taught you. In other words, don't forget the words that he teaches you. Because it's revelation to live a long life. and a satisfying life. Amen. Then you will have a full, rewarding life. So he tells you, if you do this, you'll have a long and fulfilling. Wow, I like that. And then he goes on to one of the scripture we're most familiar with in Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with him in whatever you do. Whatever you do, come intimate with him and his word. He has something to say about everything in your life.
Amen.
He's got a lot to say. And about everything in your life, he has a word that he knows you need to succeed. And so if you train your heart to listen to that word, he says you'll have a long and satisfying life. Woo! That's a good word. And you will lead, he will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. Don't think for a moment that you know it all. For wisdom comes when you adore him with undivided devotion and avoid everything that's wrong. Then you'll find the healing refreshment your body and your spirit long for. Glorify God with all your wealth, honoring him with first fruits, and it, with every increase that comes to you, that every dimension of your life will overflow with blessing from an uncontainable source of inner joy. How many want an uncontainable source? It's a long, satisfying life and an uncontainable inner source of joy. Amen?
Amen.
Chapter 4. I told you we're only going through the first four and I'm only giving you portions. But the emphasis is on the word, what you put and value. Value it more than sterling silver. Other scriptures are treasures of gold. Because within it are the treasures of God. The supersede natural riches. Chapter 4, verse 1. Listen to my correction, my sons, for I speak to you as a father. Let discernment enter your heart, and you will grow wise with understanding I impart. My revelation truth is a gift to you. My word is a gift to you. So remain faithful to my instruction, for I too was once the delight of my father and cherished by my mother, their beloved son. Then my father taught me, saying, never forget my words. So it's not having just an encounter and hearing his word, but don't forget that word. Make it a part of your life, just like breathing. So don't forget the words. The word of God. If you do everything I teach you, then you will reign in life. So make wisdom your quest. Search for the revelation of life's meaning. And I'm going to skip right back to the last part of chapter 4 because it's powerful. Listen carefully, my dear child, to everything that I teach you. Everything. You learn to hear his voice. He's teaching us all the time, but we're not hearing. But once you start hearing, it's like, oh my gosh. You come to a revelation, he has a lot to say. You're going to be a lot more quiet in talking to him because he knows what you need. Everything I teach you, and pay attention to all that I say. Where's our attention this day and this hour? Pay attention to all that he is saying. Fill your thoughts with my words. Oh boy, this is a challenge. In this day, fill. That's why it says, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, that doesn't come out of your mind saying that. That came out of the Spirit. I didn't think of that. It just popped up, and it just, you open your mouth and you let it fly. I memorized it one time, but it's there. Casting down every imagination. So fill your thoughts with his words, until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Not into your mind, but into your spirit. The very core of you, who you are. Stay with it until it's like breathing. You don't think about breathing, but man, you got it in you. And when you need it, he can bring to remembrance. If there's nothing in there, he can't bring anything to remembrance. So the more of his word you get in him, and let it go deep. I love this. And pay attention to all that I say to you. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health to the very core of your being. Woo! All that we're crying out for comes out of the core of our being. If we unwrap his words, if we value it. Are you out there? This is good preaching. I'm getting excited. Let's read that part again. Listen carefully, my dear child, to everything I teach you. And pay attention to all that I say. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they will affect all that you are.
That's true.
Amen.
You guard your heart, what goes in, because it will affect of all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being. I mean, we do evaluation of the external, you know, our finances, you know, where we are in seasons of life. Give as much attention to how you're building your inner man. Because out of your inner man flow the issues of life. He's going to say that in a minute. I'm getting ahead. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they will affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from it there flows the wellspring of life. Avoid dishonest speaks and pretentious words. Be free from using perverse words no matter what. So gaze upon the path before you with fixed purpose, looking straight ahead. Ignore life's distractions. Watch where you're going. Stick to the path of truth, and the road will be safe and smooth before you. Don't allow yourself to be sidetracked even for a moment, or to take a detour that leads to darkness.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's play the benediction. Send you home. I mean, if you catch this at all, anything at all,
amen.
The power of the word.
Yes.
Now I'm going to do this because last week was so powerful, and they had the overflow at the Women's Aglow. That's coming up Monday. But connecting point, the ladies got so stirred and took it off with as one.
Yes.
I mean, they got so caught up and. But let me just give you my second sermon for this morning that goes on with the word. And I love how Holy Spirit does this. We talked about the shield of faith last week. You remember that? And the shield of faith, and we did as one. Well, during the week, you know, I had a conversation with someone. We got into talking about the shield of faith. In fact, it was a Chase and Children's Church, they were talking about the armor of God, and Josh was given the assignment of teaching the boys the shield of faith, and so we got in a conversation about this. The next day, I had to be over at Tanya and Steve's house just because of the situations going on over there with some of their house stuff, not them. Steve's in Israel, so that's why I had to go over there, you know. Things still happen in your house, they break. So I had to go over there. But while I'm over there, laying on the table is this book. And I had to wait for the contractor to come and do the... And the book happened to be from Robert Heidler and Chuck Pierce. It just happens to be Robert Heidler, the book that, you know, we're going through, Setting Yourself Free. And the book was The Shield of Faith. And it was back from 2004. So, you know, I'm sitting there going, okay, what are you trying to tell me, Lord? He says, how many times do I have to give you something on the shield of faith? So I says, okay. So I opened up the introduction, and the introduction was talking about the Romans and back in the gladiator times. And remember last week before Sunday, we watched a gladiator movie because I wanted to see that place where they lifted their shields and they set as one. So we copied all that down. I'll read that in a minute to you. But in this, Robert Heidler, who does a lot of research and has a research team, talked about the shield of faith that was connected with the Roman soldiers. And remember, it wasn't the little shield of faith that they have, the little round one. And that's what we see most of the time when we teach our children. We give them the armor of God. It's the little shield. There was another one that was 5 feet. And so to give you an idea of how high 5 feet is, I'm about 5'9". I'm shrinking, but not too fast. I'm trying to avoid it. But I'm now 5'9". And so 5 feet would be about maybe this tall, okay? There's maybe 9 inches up above that. So 5 feet is this tall, and those shields were about 3 feet wide. The men back then were smaller than the men now. So some of you bigger men would have to squat a little bit and bend your knees. But it was for the average man. It was 5 feet, and it was 3 feet wide, which would cover them. But the interesting thing about these, when the barbarians were attacking the Roman soldiers when they were going out to conquer new land, and the barbarians were unsophisticated group and they were very vicious, well, the Romans were very structured. And so they always thought ahead of the warfare and what they would have to face. So what they did is they gave them these shields because they knew the one of the first attacks of the army back in those days was the archers. And the archers would send in the flaming arrows. How many have seen, you know, some of those movies, okay? Come on, I'm just telling you. But Paul's writing the armor of God from the Roman understanding. And so they knew the archers would send the arrows first to kind of take out some of those that weren't covered so that it would make for the ground troops to come in. So the Romans, thinking about that ahead of time, said, okay, this is what we'll do. Part of their armor will be this shield. And it won't be the little one that they carry like this, but it has to be light enough that they can move it. So we're not going to make it out of solid brass or solid wood. What we're going to do is the first layer was just wood. Wood frame. And on the wood frame, they were to take and nail leather from the sacrifice of a bull or a calf. But one layer wasn't enough, so they put 7 layers on it. But that wasn't enough because they knew the arrows were coming. What they did is they dipped the leather into the water to saturate it. You getting a picture? Why? It wasn't just something Paul came up and said, the armor of God. It was something they could understand back then. And if we don't understand that. So here this thing is. And then they had a formation, and I won't tell you the Greek or the Aramaic, but it was the word for tortoise. They had a tortoise maneuver that when the arrows started to come in, they locked their shields together, and the guys that were behind lifted theirs above. It was called a tortoise movement. And the arrows then would hit the shields. But one of the mindset of the Romans, they also knew that the next wave that came was the ground troops. And these guys were vicious. I mean, when they came, they said that, you know, the stench alone of them, because they didn't bathe and their food was, you know, I mean, they would scare a town just with their presence, you know, their looks, their smell. And so the next wave came, and they were wild. You've seen them in Braveheart. You know, you know, and they're coming out, you know, and you think, what kind of strategy warfare is this? You know, this doesn't make it, even me. I said, but anyhow, the Romans thought ahead of time, and they knew that when they locked their shields together, between the shields there was a slit so they could put their swords through that for the next wave. And the barbarians, you know, they were, they didn't know what to do because everything they had thought ahead. But let me give you the symbolic of the shield that it represents Jesus. The first frame on of the shield was wood. What's wood symbolic of? The cross. And then in the Old Testament, the sacrifices that were made on the altar to God were made by calves and bulls. So all the layers, seven layers on the wood, the cross, represent the redemptive purposes of God. But that, you know, that wasn't enough. They dipped those skins into water. And water is symbolic of the Word. And of the Spirit. So those skins were dipped into the water, Word and Spirit. Woo! So that's why Paul said, take the shield of faith. In which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. God is thinking ahead of the enemy all the time. So his word, if we get locked into this, it's not only going to be that we'll be reactionary, but we're prepared to be on the, not only the defense, but the offense. But all the armor of God, every part of that, you can trace back to the word. And the word is Jesus. So take, you know, the word of truth. Who is truth? Jesus and Holy Spirit. So that was, they took the belt of truth and put that on. And then take the breastplate of righteousness. One other scripture also says the breastplate of faith. So put that on, and that protects your most vulnerable part of your inner body, your heart, your lungs, you know, all that. But then it says, take the gospel of peace. The gospel is the word of God. And shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. And then it says, and over all these things, take the shield of faith. Not the little one, but the big one. And not individually, but as we saw in the gladiator, lock the shields together as one. Go into the tortoise movement. When the gates of hell are opened, don't be surprised what comes out of the gate of hell. But lock our shields together. Lift our shields of faith, and it will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Amen. So we'll start as we lead worship with standing again. And I'll read what he said in the gladiator just to remind you. Whatever comes out of these gates. Remember Jesus said, upon this revelation I will build my church. That was Peter's revelation. And the gates of hell... will not. So whatever comes out of the gates of hell right now. Woo, that's the storms that are coming. Whatever comes out of those gates. We have a better chance of survival if we work together. You understand? Why? Because one will chase 1,000 in flight. Two will chase 10,000. Lock our armor together. I love that the last weapon he gives you is the sword of the Spirit. Yes. It's the Word of God. So the sword and the Spirit, you know, when the enemy gets close, you put it through the crack in the armor. That's just side one. Okay. We work together, you understand. We stay together, we survive. Stay close, lock your shields as one. Hold, hold, hold. And then he says is one. So I want you to stand. So I'll say one, two, three. That's like the hold, hold, hold. But what I want you to do is I want to feel some thrust in it. Like you're thrusting, you know, that spear through the shields into the enemy. You're reminding him that we're at one. Amen. We're locking our shields. We're going into the tortoise. Thing. And also another description says that was it looked like an armored car when they locked their shields. And when they approached the enemy, they could walk and they couldn't penetrate. It was like a human armored car. Isn't God funny? Oh, I thought that was funny. So what you do is put your one hand up. Okay? And when I say three, I want you to really, I'll give you a demonstration how you're to do it. You're to put everything in it. So when I say three, you'll go, and one! That sound is only one. I want you to listen to the sound that we're releasing in heaven. So lift your hands up as your shield. One, two, three. As one! Could you feel that? Not only hear, but could you feel that? You want to do that again? Okay. One, two, three. As one! Wow. So, Father, we thank you as one. We enter into your presence this morning. We come boldly and confidently, and we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we thank you as one. We will worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name.
Glory!
Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we only want to hear your voice, hanging on every move. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we want to know you more and more, hanging on every move. The living God, Spirit of the living God, we only want to hear your voice, hanging on every move. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we only want to know you more, hanging on every word. 'Cause when you speak and when you move, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see, what we seek. When you come into the room, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see, what we seek. Spirit of the living God, we're leaning into all you are, everything else can wait. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, come now and breathe upon our hearts, come now and have your way. 'Cause when you speak and when you move, when you do, changes what we see, what we seek. When you come into the room, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see. Because when you move, you remove all our fears. When you move, you move us to tears. When you move, you remove all our fears. And when you move, you move us to tears. When you fall on our knees. When you When you move, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see and what we seek. When you come into the room, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see and what we to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. to move. Here we are, standing in your presence. Here we are, standing in your presence. Shekinah glory, come down.
She kind of glory come.
Shekinah glory come, release the fullness of your spirit. Shekinah glory come, Shekinah glory come. Fill us up, 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 oh God. Another glimpse of glory, we sing once more. Worthy, 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 Lord, forever and ever. Worthy, 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 Lord, another glimpse of glory, we sing once more. Eternity, sing the song they are always singing. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Just to bow down before your throne, see your face, we cry out, because you're holy, 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 you are. Have heard, well done, proclaiming that you're the only one who's faithful, 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 you are Lord. What can we give you but endless praise? The heavens roar as we shout your name is Jesus, 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 you are Lord. Jesus, King of Kings. You're my everything. You're the God of my living, there in my breathing, God in my waking, the God in my sleeping, God in my resting, there in my working, God in my thinking, God in my speaking. Be my everything, 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 be my everything. God in my
to yourself, say, Christ in me.
Christ in me.
Christ in me.
Christ in me.
The hope.
The hope.
Of glory.
Glory.
The hope of the fullness.
Hope of the fullness.
Of all that Jesus is.
All that Jesus is.
Christ in me.
Christ in me.
Wow. Just feel that going deep into your innermost being. Just let it go deep. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the hope of the fullness of God manifesting dwells on the inside of you. All the fullness of Jesus is being revealed to you right now. And when He's revealed, your life is revealed because you're in Him. In Him you live, move, and have your being. Say it again. Christ in me.
Christ in me.
Christ in me.
Christ in me.
The hope of glory and the fullness of Jesus dwelling in me, manifesting in me, and manifesting through me in Jesus' name. Give Him praise. Give Him honor. Hallelujah. We're going to stay up here. You can stay up here. I'm going to ask, because there's some family business, and you're going to understand as we go this morning. I'll tell you right up front. Okay. I'm getting ready to go on vacation. And so, no, don't get excited. So I don't want to leave anything on the table when I leave. That's why you're getting all the sermons. That's why you're getting everything in me, because I don't want anything left on the table.
Come on.
Amen? Amen. And so we got some family business we want to take care of. And as I was saying it, thinking it, and just praying, we want the children are under attack. Yeah. Amen. And you know, when one family is under attack, that involves us all, because we sang, we're in Christ. So I just, you know, I saw the kids up here and all the young boys, the future generation, and wow. You know, we get the opportunity of imparting, and so, you know, you model when they worship. My daughters and son learned how to worship sitting next to my mother, who was just a worshiper, and she just, and, you know, grandma raised her hands, they raised their hands. You can stay right here with me. Stay right here with me, because we're going to pray for all you little ones. So you get to stay right here. Amen. Woo. So I saw a lot of the little ones, but let's have that young generation before we dismiss, and just bear with me. I'll dismiss them in a minute. But and I want the parents to come up, because the motto I saw, parents coming up, and grandparents can come up too, because that's the first and second layers of the shield, and then you as the body of Christ. And so let the children come on up, and we're going to stay back here, and Apostle Linda and Prophet Susie can come on up. But I want the parents to kind of, surround, grandparents, surround them.
Thank you, Lord.
I know we got, we got the other one.
He went to the restroom.
Oh, he went to the restroom. Okay. Well, I can talk long. now, where's Tawanda at? I can't see her. Okay, Tawanda can come down here. Devante had a reaction to the medication, and he's back in ICU. So he's one of the family. We want to pray. But what I want is, we're going to just anybody else, any other. If you're out there, you can receive that for your grandchildren, that, because we're just going to break some strongholds in the name of Jesus. We're going to declare right now, mindsets broken, demonic things. If you're, I know there's several grandparents, you can stand and just stand in for the gap. I know Joanne, and I know Mary, and I know several of you have grandchildren. Carl's got a couple out there that, and we're going to pray and break the spirit. Come on.
Yeah, all right.
Here he comes. All right. We did it. Okay. And we're just going to pray over this. And I want you, this is their first shield, is their parents. And I want the parents to know this. The first shield and attack against them is you have authority. And you have authority to exercise the word of God and speak it. If Christ is in you, you have all authority. It's been given you. And so you're the first layer. Grandparents, you're the second layer. In the body of Christ, you're the third layer. So I want you, you know, as the shield to do this. As we're there's some demonic things that need to be broken.
Yes.
And it's not that the children are demonic. It's the atmosphere they're in. And we want to break that influence right now in the name of Jesus and declare it over these ones and just let the Spirit of God flow this morning. And so you pray in the Spirit. If you don't know how to pray, you don't know what's going on, just pray in the Spirit and agree with us. So in the name of Jesus, just stretch your hands. Parents, just cover them. You're the first covering. Grandparents, in the name of Jesus, we cover each one right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for this covering, the shield of faith. We say shields up in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that we extinguish every fiery dart that's being released, every mindset, every demonic stronghold in the name of Jesus. We break your power and your authority, and we declare you will not have this generation in Jesus' name. And we cover them with the blood of Jesus. We cover them with the word of God. We cover them by all authority in heaven and earth that's been given to these parents and grandparents and to us as the body, members of the body of Jesus. We declare right now, demonic strongholds, we break you off of them right now. We break every assignment that will distract them in the name of Jesus, that will pull them away as they're tempted by their peer pressures in the name of Jesus, that they'll raise up, Father, as front runners and leaders right now, that they'll resist temptation. So we break the spirits of temptation coming against them, that they're covered in the blood of Jesus, and we call out of them right now their destiny right now. I speak to the parents that they see the destiny upon each one of these young ones at a young age, and they begin to call that out in Jesus' name. And we say, Father, there's future apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists. There's future business people. There's future politicians. There's future doctors, Father. There's future lawyers. There's future, Father, in every one of the mountains of influence in this generation. And so we stir it up right now and we release their destiny. Release that as the power of darkness is broken and the assignment against them is broken in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And we say, be free. Be free in the name of Jesus. We declare, Father, their destiny being released right now. Release their destiny right now. Oh, in the name of Jesus, break strongholds. And Father, we thank you, Father, for the strongholds, Father, of your presence in the name of Jesus. We break every stronghold assigned to, Father, just connect this generation in Jesus' name. And we say right now, come out, you foul spirits, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you for empowering, Father, this next generation, the moms right now, with great strength. So I release a grace right now in the name of Jesus. Be set free. Father, release this generation right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let the power of God right now fill this generation. Fill this generation now. The destiny of God, we cry it, call it out. Call it out in the name of Jesus. Demonic powers, let loose right now. No more. No more fighting. No more resistance. No more. No more. And Father, empower these parents to take their place. Stand in their place of authority in the name of Jesus. Not to back down in the name of Jesus, to set an example in their households right now. Their households are no longer divided in the name of Jesus. We speak, Father, unity into every one of these households in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, shata rakata rabaha. Rosoto rabaha. Randara. Oh, radara baha.
Thank you, Lord. Jump thank in. You, Lord.
Jump in.
The Lord gives you a charge today as parents and as grandparents, even those who cover these ones. We thank you, Lord, that you give us an example, even as the angel of the Lord came to the mother of Samson before he was even conceived and said, I'm going to bring forth through you a son, a young man who will grow and be mighty in my name and serve my purposes. And so she told her husband what this man of God, this angel of God had told her. And he said, pray that he come back again because we have an important question to ask him. We need to know, how do we raise this child that has such a momentous destiny? And so even this day, as your hearts cry out and say, how do we raise these men? How do we raise these daughters to fulfill your purposes? God said, I give the wisdom to you.
Yes.
I have the wisdom for you to pour forth. So seek him and follow that leading. When God says, don't do this, don't do it. When he says, do this thing, do it. For it's the power of God and the hand of God on these children. For these children are even more significant in the destiny of God than you are. For there is a generation being raised up for very significant purposes.
Yes.
And it's no surprise that of these children, the majority we see are males. Majority we see, even the three who are standing here, we know that there are men being raised up in this hour.
Yes, to
with
take
a godly
their place,
purpose.
Father.
To serve a godly purpose.
Yes.
And there will be men who will take hold of their manhood. They will not set it aside, but they'll walk strong in it. They'll recognize the opportunity they have to be fathers, to be leaders, to be governing people, to be creative people. Thank you, Lord, that every one of these young men who are yet raised up will be raised up to fulfill your purposes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I want all you boys and girls to put your hand over your heart. Can you put your hand over your heart for me? Because the Lord wants to speak to your heart. So I just want you to touch your heart as the Lord speaks to your heart, okay? For the Lord says that you belong to me. You belong to me, that every one of you, you belong to me. I created you, and I have purpose, and I have destiny for you. And I say that my power is in you. My voice is in you. My love is in you. Yeah. And the Lord says that he has you. He has you, and he has his angels surround you. And the Lord says, when you get into a place and you don't know what to do, call out the name of Jesus. And Jesus will help you. Jesus will help you. The Holy Spirit will speak to your heart and you will know what to do. You will know what to do even at this young age, because the Lord says that he created you to hear his voice and to walk in his ways. For you are ones that belong to the kingdom of God. You are ones that are leaders. You are ones that have been selected in this time to be in this generation, and you carry, the Lord says you carry his heart, and he is with you.
Amen.
He is with you.
Mm-hmm.
He is with you. So, Father, I just thank you for these young ones. Lord, I thank you that their destiny, Lord God, has been written in heaven in advance, that their identities and their destinies will not be perverted or twisted or maligned in any way by culture, but it's set confirm in the heavens who they are and who they are to be, and that they will grow up strong in the Lord and the power of His might, and they will lead the generation, Lord, even as You have called them to be leaders in their generation, influencers for Your kingdom in the name of Jesus.
Amen, 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 amen. One more thing. Let's break this generational curse.
Amen.
Of lack of fatherhood. And Father, we right now break a generational curse.
Yes.
It's on this generation.
Yes.
That Father, these men will set a new standard of manhood.
Yes.
That even if they have a good father, they're going to take it to a new level.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. So right now, in the name of Jesus, as a spiritual father, but a physical father, grandfather, great-grandfather, I now declare right now the generational curses are broken off of them right now in the name of Jesus. And that You're raising up, Father, godly examples right now for this generation to model, to run after in the name of Jesus. Godly men, Father, that know You intimately and personally, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Okay. Everybody agree with that? Say amen. 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 Let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Well, you may be seated. Before we dismiss, I know you're all getting excited to eat their pancakes and get in Super Church. Before we do that, we got one thing I want to do before we dismiss the children. While we're all in here, this is a family thing again. And I normally haven't done this in the past, and those who haven't been around know that before COVID especially, we typically in the fall would take a couple weeks, and we're on assignment. We got one more assignment to do to complete our assignment to our grandchildren, and we now have one more, and it would be 20 that we have taken us on a week vacation. So when we started this almost 20 years ago, didn't think I'd be here to accomplish this, but so we're on assignment. I'm going to be on assignment, but I haven't done this in the past to tell you that I'm going to be gone 3 weeks, Apostle Linda and I. So everybody right away, well, who's going to fill the pulpit? And in the past, I just tell you I'd be gone. I didn't tell you how long, and I didn't tell you who was going to fill the pulpit. You just had to show up. But, you know, I know you're mature enough, and it doesn't matter who shows up. You're going to show up. And it's not about, you know, who's given the message, but I want you to know who is going to give the message, because you're well covered while we're gone. We don't get concerned. I can be gone 3 weeks, and I'm not worried about the church splitting or someone taking over. I enjoy my time, so I'm going to do this, and I'm going to ask Prophet Susie and Mike and Val and Don to come down, and Amy to come down. And we're going to, I'm going to pray over them, and but you need to see them so that you receive them, because while we're gone, this is a team that has stood over the years with us, and you need to have the experience of not just apostolic, but prophetic teaching anointing. So the first week we're gone is next week. And so we know that that's the third Sunday, and it's always a crazy Sunday. So you want to be here. And Prophet Susie is going to be doing the message next Sunday, and it's flowing out of the Wednesday nights. And so she'll be doing the second Wednesday night on the prophetic this week. And so you come out and just receive, because we're in a move of the Holy Spirit, and we need to know the gifts of the Spirit and how God's moving. Especially, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially the gift of prophecy. So on Wednesday nights, this Wednesday is the second training time at 7 o'clock. Prophet Susie be delivering that message. And then on Sunday, she gets to follow up and just dump everything that she knows on the prophetic on you. So you show up and you catch it, not dump it, you receive it, and she'll put it out there. And then the second week, Prophet Susie and Don are going to, Susie's going to bring message, but Don's going to bring just an update on Grand 7 Detroit. You need to know what's going on. Some of you don't even know what Grand 7 Detroit is, and I apologize for that. Since COVID, we haven't done much advertisement, but God is really moving in our neighborhood. And so you, G7D is Grand 7 Detroit. That's our neighborhood outreach in the community that we have, the oversight. You'll get an update on that because we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. I didn't think we'd ever see it, but we can see some things happening. And Don's going to bring a report. He's part of the team of G7D. And then the third week is going to be Mike and Val. And we've asked Mike and Val. And Mike and Val have some connection in the business, but also on the political. And starting in October and November, we're going to be doing a Wednesday night biblical citizenship. And so we've asked them to come and stir that up in you. And so you'll get to hear Mike and Val. Right, Val? Okay. I know that it's a passion she has, and Mike. And so I know that, you know, I trust them with everything in me, and I'll be watching. One of the things we do on vacation, we don't take a break, and now with Facebook Live, we can watch live, and so that's what I meant. Thank you, Stephen and tech team. But you know, I'm just laying hands on because I'm leaving. We're in the midst of revival, and I expect to come back. And I always, when I go on vacation, I almost always say, if revival hits while I'm gone, don't worry, carry on without me. I'll catch up when we get back. Yes. Believe me, I'm not going to get behind you. So you better make sure you stay. and they, this is the momentum I'm, it's a big weight I'm putting on them. But I know what they carry and what's on the inside of them. They have the same DNA and same giftings and anointings. So I expect you to come and just a feast of what they have. And so we're going. And Amy's leading. She's going to be doing communion. I'm sorry. Communion on the first Sunday of October, October the 1st. Very powerful. And she's overseeing the worship while we're gone, which is a big load. And so we appreciate Amy and the team. And also, you want to know how we're covered, you know, and I don't know if Laura's here at all. I haven't seen her. Is she back? Tish, why don't you get Laura to come in? There she is. She's out watching the parking lot, and you say, why do we have to watch the parking lot? Well, we want to be wise in the territory we're in. And so Laura is the office administrator. And while we're gone, if things come up, you call her. She'll make sure it gets dispersed out to the leadership team and others who need to know. And so we just want to encourage you. This is Laura. So we appreciate this team, and you're in good hands while we're gone, and they'll keep us. We're not out of the country on this particular trip, and so we're only a phone call, a text away, and they'll keep us informed. Laura does a great job with that. But I want you just to receive the gift in each one of these today as I pray over them, Apostle Linda and I, and just set them in this place and charge them right now and to go ahead and step in, bring revival down, because the fire of God is really falling in this nation. It's falling upon this house. And so you come and who knows what you're looking for might be just the message or the anointing on each one of these. And so there's a grace upon them. I know that grace. There's favor. And you're not going to miss a beat. But if you're not here or you're not following up on Facebook or listening to messages, you could miss what's going on, because what's happening is happening so fast in this nation.
Yes.
And one of the words that we felt this morning, Prophet Susie and Amy and myself, all that we're in a lull right now before the storm. And you can kind of feel that.
Yep.
You think, don't get tricked into thinking there's not a storm coming. This is a law between the storms. So how you prepare yourself in the law determines how you're going to go through the storm. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So stretch your hands, and we're just going to lay hands on them and declare over them. We're going to agree. Father, you can stand with me if you want. Just Father, we thank you and praise you for Laura, Mike and Val, Amy, Don and Susie right now. And we thank you that, Father, with the same gifting, the same anointing that rests upon us as a house, as the body of Christ, many members, yet one body. We thank you for the DNA, but we thank you for the anointing, the graces that is upon each one of these that they carry. And we thank you, Father, that we receive that gift. We receive the anointing upon them. We thank you right now as we receive, it says, as we receive a prophet, as we receive a teacher, as we receive a minister, as we receive a technician, as we receive, Father, their gifts. We receive the gift of the prophet and, Father, the administrator and the pastor, the anointing, the musician, and, Father, the technicians. And, Father, we thank you right now.
Yes.
We thank you for them. I trust them right now as we lay hands on them. We thank you in the name of Jesus. We just empower them right now.
Thank you, Lord.
With the same anointing that dwells on the inside of us, not only the anointing in them, but Father, we thank you for a double measure. That Father, when they step in, they'll step into a new grace, a new Father, a time, a new authority in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you for them. Thank you, Father, for Amy right now, that even Father, the sound of worship, Father, would go to new levels. That Father, you continue to speak to her and the grace, Father, to orchestrate and hear what the Spirit of God is saying, to bring it to not only song, but to bring it to ministry of worship before the throne. So we thank you that you cover her, Father, Don and Susie, with protection upon their voices, Father, upon who they are in Jesus' name. Just thank you, Father. Oh, thank you for the anointing and the grace upon Amy right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for Mike and Val, Father, and the grace, Father, the influence they have, Father, and Father, the mountains of Father, the political, and the mountains, Father, of business. And Father, we thank you what they carry, the teaching anointing upon Mike and Father upon this couple. We release it right now to a new level right now, that they'll articulate, Father, not only what the Spirit of God is releasing, but they'll give clear direction, especially in this political, this charged atmosphere in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that, Father, you just infuse them with your governing grace right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, thank you for, Father, the gift of administrator upon Laura. And we thank you, Father, that as she, Father, is the main hub, Father, taking all this information in, I bind, Father, her being overwhelmed. I pray a spirit of wisdom and revelation over her. Give her wisdom how to impart, who to call, Father, to keep things functioning, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you. And I pray right now, Father, a release of favor and grace that she'll know what to do, Father, when unexpected situations and circumstances together, that her and Father Janet, Father, will know how to disperse, Father, things, Father, when a need comes in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just pray for the congregation right now. I thank you right now that as they receive these gifts of God, Father, we thank you they receive the blessing of each one of these gifts, Father, that we're as one. And so we thank you that we'll not back down in this time. It's not a time to take a recess, Father. We're to get behind, Father, one another in encouragement. I thank you right now. I pray for this congregation will go to new levels in these next 3 weeks. That, Father, I will return not even knowing who they are in the natural, but we'll know them by the Spirit. So we thank you and bless you right now for the covering upon us in this congregation. Harvest right now. No weapon formed against us will prosper. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, you raise up a standard and you break every attack on us. Expose it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
And as a congregation, we just lay hands upon you guys and we say, rest and be refreshed. We say that the Lord is with you. He will expand you. He will enlarge you. This is going to be fun. We are behind you and we are with you and we bless you. We bless you with a good time. We bless you with freedom. We bless you that nothing will be tied to you, that you won't take any cares of this world or even cares of this church with you, but you're free to go. You're free to go and to receive what the Lord has for you and to know that we love you. We'll be here when you get back. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you. You know, one of the things you can be standing, and I mentioned a couple of weeks about the storms, and remember the story about Pastor Trevor and the hurricanes coming in? It just happens that where we're going is on the east coast of Florida, ocean front, and that big storm, they say, we've been declaring it's going to be pushed even further into the Atlantic. It's not expected to hit ground, but we're making sure it doesn't. And anyone behind it right now, that they're going to be pushed out because it's not going to. Amen. So I know that you can be agreeing with us and praying. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I think the kids are ready for their lunch. So, workers, just bless, Father, those that are going to minister to the children. Thank you for their time. Thank you for the ministry, Father, on the armor of God that they're getting and receiving in Jesus' name. A couple other announcements. The 20th through the 20th, 2nd of October, the Heidlers will be coming in and doing, we've been doing the book, and if you haven't got the book, Setting Yourself Free, you can get it. We have a few left. If we run out, we'll get some more, but the Heidlers, Robert Heidler, who wrote the book, and his wife Linda are going to be in on those 3 days, Friday night, daytime, Saturday, we don't have all the time, and then Sunday morning. But you want to be a part of this. We need to be free to
Amen.
Go into this next time and this
Amen.
Next season. So we're encouraging you to invite those. Invite those, your neighbors. Don't tell them this is a deliverance seminar and they're going to get free of some demons. Just tell them to come and hear the word of the Lord, okay? And then Monday, thank all those who were at Connecting Point yesterday, but ladies, we can really, just down the street is a Woman's Aglow at Grady Jensen's church. It's a Livonia Assembly of God. It's at Middle Belt and 7 Mile, and we have two ladies that have ministered there, and I have a grandson, granddaughter, minister in Woman's Aglow often there. Apostle Linda and Prophet Susie and Tanya and Steve have been down there, but once a month they meet, and this Monday night, Apostle Linda is bringing the message. And I know that the connection with Grady, he's one of the pastors that prays with us, and our connection with the 7 Mile down into Livonia, it'd be great if we could empower this particular chapter, you know. And so ladies, if you have Monday night, and Susie's one of the advisors with the Women Aglow for that chapter. And what time is it? 7 o'clock. 7, and the address is 33015. You know where Joe's Produce is. If you see Joe's Produce, go on West on 7 Mile, it's across the street. So be on your left. So it's 33015. And so ladies, just get a carload. Let's just bless the socks out of them. It won't take a whole lot. But we get there and we can overwhelm them and bring the presence of God. And support also a Grady who's hosting this and believing for breakthrough. So that's coming up.
Open Arms Church.
Okay. In Livonia's, right across from Joe's Produce. Okay, what else we got? We got the prophetic coming up. We got, the next connecting point will be October 7th. And so, can we announce who's?
Is that the right?
Yeah.
That's
okay. First. Christina's going to be doing it. Christina Wilson. And so, ladies, you're in for a treat. So you can get that word out. But a lot of things, so October's already gone.
Yeah.
Okay, and October, November will be biblical citizenship on Wednesday nights. And so start to stir yourself up for that, because part of the storm that's coming in, a lot of it has to do with the political atmosphere. And we don't want to be swept away with that and miss what God's doing. So I got one more thing I need to do to leave nothing on the table and blow in, blow out. You can be in prayer for us, a couple things. Personally, you can pray for our safety. Of course, we're driving down. This is unique, so we're driving down, but our first stop is the Ark. And so each one of our children, all grandchildren, always get a unique experience to them. And this is the first time we stopped at the Ark because we're driving down. So pray us for that. Also, and you often hear a little bit about our dog. Our dog, while we were gone, will be mated. And we're expecting when we come back, she'll be pregnant. So I'll be in prayer with her, for her, with her, with my son. I was hoping to have that done before we left, and it didn't happen. She didn't cooperate. And so my son will be taking her and breeding her. And so we expect when she comes back, she'll be pregnant. So somewhere around Thanksgiving, we're expecting puppies. So be in prayer for us. So that's just some update on some personal things. I know it's not real spiritual, but poor Rigo, yeah. Okay, what I want to finish, I got to finish the story from last week. Because the story was cross to the other side. Remember that? In Mark chapter 4, and also in Matthew chapter 8, we have the same story, but they're given through different perspectives. But I didn't give you the end of it. You know, the beginning of it, Jesus told the disciples, and in Matthew chapter 8, he commanded them to get in the boat. It wasn't an option, but he did give them a choice. He commanded them, but then they had to choose if they were going to get in. And if you remember, some of the disciples came back with real life concerns. You know, what about burying my father? That's a life concern. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. In other words, he's taken away excuses from us and saying, follow me. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So Jesus just says, follow me. He doesn't give you a lot of, it's not debate. You know, there's not a lot of options. He just says, follow me. When he called his disciples, he says, follow me. And as you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. So they had to choose to follow him, which meant, if you read in the scripture, they left their business. You think, well, Peter just left his business. He turned it over to his wife and his mother-in-law, and they carried on the business. But Peter had to leave everything. He took all the excuses away. And he said, get in the boat. But the command was, go to the other side. So the disciples should have let that lodge in us. This is the word of God coming from Jesus, which we believe is the Son of God. And so when he says, go on to the other side, it doesn't matter what's going to happen between now and getting to the other side, he's in charge.
Yes. Amen.
If you get a word from the Lord and he says, go to the other side, I got good news for you. It doesn't matter what takes place between this side and getting to the other side. Amen. You're going to make it. So if you remember in the story we talked last week, and both Matthew and Mark give a little bit different insights. But remember, they got in the boat, and as they started across, Jesus went to sleep. I want to tell you, Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do, and I can only speak what I hear the Father speak. Then Holy Spirit says, I can only do what I hear from Jesus, because what he's hearing is from the Father, and I can only do what I see Jesus doing. So now Jesus gets in the boat and gives them a prime example of what they need to do. We're going to the other side, so if you're going to follow me, do what I do.
Amen.
What did he do? He went to sleep. All the disciples should have been sleeping in the boat. Jesus knew something they didn't know when they got to the other side. We're going to need our rest, but we're going to the other side. When the storm arose and water starts coming in the boat, you know, water didn't wake Jesus up. The storm didn't wake him up. They looked over there and they says, what's wrong with this man? He told us we're going to the other side, but he's asleep. They should have gone back to sleep, saying, well, if he's sleeping, we're sleeping. Not trying to figure out what to do. And so then they wake Jesus up, and he says, oh, it's only a storm. Yeah, big deal. What's he do? He rebukes the wind and the waves, and everything becomes calm. And in both scriptures, in Matthew and Mark, they say something different. One says, you of little faith. The other one says, you of no faith. How'd you like to have Jesus tell you in the middle of your storm and you're wavering, how would you like Jesus to tell you, you of no faith? That's a pretty heavy correction. And it's calm. And then the next thing it says in both scriptures, then they landed on the other side. In Mark chapter 5, we stopped in Mark chapter 4, and there's almost there's a gap there. But no, the story continues. And in fact, in Matthew chapter 8, and someone filled with a demonic, in fact, it was seven legions. You know, a legion is 12,000, so that's 72,000. In the Passion, it says they were filled with a mob. Yeah. Some of you can't get a legion, you can't picture a legion, but you can get a mob. Yeah. They were filled with a mob of demonic. Wow. One says there was one man, the other reference says there were two of them. They couldn't contain him. They would chain him up and they would break the chains. And so much that they controlled that whole region that no one would pass by them. There was fear by the whole town. And notice what happens. Jesus steps out of the boat, and Jesus didn't have to go looking for them. You don't have to go looking for demons when you're full of the Spirit of God. They showed up and they said, Jesus, have you come to destroy us or to torment? I like that word, torment. Have you come to torment us before our time? Yeah. In other words, they recognized who he was, what authority he had. In fact, the disciples in the boat, after he calmed the sea and the wind, the disciples were amazed and even afraid and said, who is this that calms the sea and the wind? With what authority does he operate? And now he steps out, and even the demons recognize the authority of who he is. Have you come? And he gives them what Jesus came to do, torment us. Yeah. See, God has given you authority to torment devils, not for devils to torment you.
Yes.
And he was preparing the disciples because he knew when we get the other side, we're going to be confronted. See, God sees beyond your storm.
Thank you, Jesus.
He sees the outcome. He sees your destiny. Well, when the devil recognizes that you got an assignment from the Lord, he's going to cause some disturbance in the atmosphere to get you out of your assignment. The bigger the assignment. In fact, if your assignment isn't so big that you can't handle it, it's probably not big enough. If you can handle your assignment with all your ability, with all your giftings, it's probably not an assignment given by God. Because the assignment God gives us is always bigger than ourselves. Yeah. Oh, come on. And with the assignment, he gives you the grace and the faith. And so they get over there, and if it was one demonic or two, it doesn't matter. But the one that he addressed, he says, how many, who are you? But it said several times that Jesus commanded the demons to come out. And he did it several times. There's the indication. It wasn't a one-time thing. But they said, have you come to torment us before our time? Yeah. And Jesus, he could have just said, you betcha. You read it. I'm not here to accommodate you. I'm not here to, you know, pacify you. Amen. I'm not here to comfort you. I'm here to torment you. Yeah. And if in both scriptures it says this, the demons said, if you come to torment us, at least let us go into the pigs. It wasn't Jesus' idea to send them into the pigs. The demons said, at least give us a break, because we have to have a body to operate. Don't send us out into a dry place and cast us out. At least the demon said, if you are going to torment us, at least cast us out and let us go into that herd of pigs. She said, okay. Did what happened? The pigs ran off the cliff. The herdsmen went back to the town, and when the people heard it, they became afraid and wanted him to leave. They weren't concerned about coming and seeing the man in his right mind, sitting clothed because they said he was naked, running around and they couldn't bind him. They weren't concerned about the man's deliverance. They were concerned about their welfare. Come on. So the herdsmen go and tell the town. The town comes out and they say, leave this territory. The other scripture says about this incident says that the demonic man said to Jesus, let me follow you. And Jesus says, no, you go and tell the city. See, the assignment was to set the city free, not just the demonic. Your assignment is bigger than just an individual or yourself. It's about city. It's about region. Yeah. And you say, but who am I? Man, if you're filled with spirit, we confess this. Christ in you. If Christ is in you, he says, I've given you all authority to accomplish your assignment. And it starts in your own personal life, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your city.
Yes.
If you had the assignment to be a senator or politician, there would be a grace there. But start to operate where you're at. Start to exercise the authority in the area that he's giving you influence.
Amen.
Because the enemy is attacking the area of your individual freedoms and also your family. Those are the two foundations that hold together any culture and any society. And once those are dismantled, it's real easy to dismantle the culture. So the attack, we're in a direct attack. And when we start to operate in the authority, don't be surprised when demons come up to you and say, who do you think you are? And you better be ready to tell them. It's not about you. Don't tell him your story. Tell him it's Christ in me.
Right.
All authority's been given to him, and now he's given me authority that whatever I bind on earth is already bound in heaven. So you're already bound. And you're right, demonic. I've come to torment you before your time. Come out in Jesus' name.
Yes.
That's what the book is about. That's why the Heilers are coming in here. It's time that we command the demonic to come out.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
And not be nice about it.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, I'm here to torment principalities and powers of darkness. And I don't fear them. Jesus didn't say, hey, we're going into, did you hear about this? He didn't tell them where they were going. Just says, we're crossing the other side. But Jesus said, man, you know, 72,000 is a mob. if you back off of one lower power demonic, but man, he's filled us so that we can cast out mobs. And what is the mission? To set your community free, to set your family free, to set your region free.
Yes.
It only takes one to start.
That's right.
You know, he starts the spark.
That's right.
But you got to fan the fire.
Yes.
So if he's told you you can do it, you got to pull that vision back up and fan that fire. Because he gave you a grace in the beginning. And if that fire is now just a spark, that grace is still there. So begin to call on the grace. Begin to speak to your situation. Begin to confront what you haven't been able to confront because of fear and doubt and unbelief. Get in the face. Don't run from the problem. Run to the problem. Say to that mountain, be removed. David, when he faced his giant, he had already killed the bear and the lion. See, what you do in private will come out in your public life. If you don't defeat the bear and the lions, the minor demonic, you won't be able to face the giants. And David, when he faced them, he didn't just, you know, back off and say, wait a minute. He ran toward the giant. It's time we run toward our giants. Because they're tormenting. You know, Goliath, he came out not just one time. It says there are 40 days and 40 nights he came out. And he challenged Israel and all their warriors who were skilled in battle. They all buckled. It's time we don't buckle. We're not backing up. There's a fourth man in the fire. I love that song. You might be in the fire, but look at the fourth man in there. That's Jesus. He's walking around. And they came out of the fire, the three sons. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They came out without even a stench of smoke on them. Their clothes weren't even singed. You talk about a miracle. So we're getting ready to go into battle.
Amen.
And I heard this morning an illustration that even if you've been in the body of Christ a long time and you've experienced the move of God, and man, that move of God is like my fist, and you're hanging on to and expecting the move of God to look like that, but I want to tell you there's another bigger storm that's hovering over you. A bigger wave. These are like two waves. You're riding this wave of revival. And there's a bigger wave that's about ready to overcome us. Are you ready for the bigger wave? The bigger wave's going to knock you off your wave. So that you can ride the next wave of God. Man, I want to ride that next wave, don't you? I mean, this good wave, it's been good. We've had some good in these 40, 45 years. Man, sometimes I just thank God that I was alive for it. But it doesn't anywhere compare to the tsunami that's coming. And it's not just the storm of the enemy. It's a tsunami of the Spirit of God that's about ready to crash into the earth. And he's saying, are you ready? Are you ready for this? So I'm refreshing you that you can run and not be weary and not faint at everything's going on. I'm empowering you so that you can catch that next wave. When we were in Hawaii on the north shore of Oahu, that's where they have the world surfing championships where they have 40 and 50. Man, you see those waves? Woo! The guys will wait all day, all week for that one wave they see coming. When they see it coming, they recognize it. And they start paddling, getting out there and hit that wave. I want to be paddling out there when I see that wave coming. I want to be getting myself in a position that when it hits, I can stand up and, you know, ride in that quarter. You don't know what I'm talking about? I haven't surfed before. I just watched. It's amazing when they get into the under that wave and they ride that all the way to shore and down the shore. You know, one of the things that we liked in a few feet of waves, we saw the dolphins surfing in them. They ride in the waves. When you see that, man, you see a dolphin in the ocean, but you see it in the wave, you go, wow. And he wants us to ride the waves all the way across to wherever our potential is. So, you know, if you're going to read that story, he told him go across. Why? Because there was a city that he wanted to set free. Not just a demonic, but you had to bind the strong man. And if you're going to take the strong man's good, you have to bind the strong man first. You have to bind the strong man in your life and face him.
Amen.
And when you face him, then you can go and take his... What do they call that? His goods. That's good. Take his spoil. That's better. Are you following me? I don't want to just keep doing the same old, same old. My assignment's not to just, you know, collect things here. And when my time comes, I get to go to heaven. No, my assignment is to take a whole bunch with me. To set a city free. You know,
occupy.
And yours too. We're not here just to occupy until he comes. We're to here take back what the enemy has stolen, to set the region free. And we're connecting with churches all around again. We were in disconnect connection through COVID, but now the churches are reconnecting. When one's out there in front, you know, and the with the shield analogy, if one of the armor guys killed or went down, they had another group that would just take their place. And so when our friends are in war, when Trevor down in Florida's in a war, we're in war with him. When our friends here, and now war's been declared on this state, so our friends in are all those in the state there in the body of Christ. Different assignments, but all taking our place. And we have an apostolic prophetic call that we know it's come back on all the words that have been over us. And it's like it's become alive to stay, not just occupy, but take back what the enemy has stolen. Song that Pat Spriggs, I think, wrote years ago, possessing the land through praise, prayer, and power. The apostolic anointing upon us is to possess the land. Amen. Take back. And that means you have an assignment too. Your assignment individually. You know, when we connect, when there's an assignment comes in, we got people that are going through stuff. You know, we know it all the time. That means we're standing with them. We're connected with them. We have to fight the battle. And once they get set free, then they can join in and set others free. Amen. And so I believe we got an assignment. It's a big one. But Jesus has said, go to the other side.
Yes.
How many want to go? And that's what Jesus said. Go to the other side. Yes. One of those accounts says that Jesus got in the boat and they followed him. So I'm telling you, we're going to the other side. How many are willing to follow?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
That's what's happening right now. Amen. And you're following the bigger assignment, going the other side. It will release your giftings, your anointings to be part of it. Amen?
Amen.
And so I'm excited. I don't want to leave anything on the table when I go. Make sure I gave everything I have. I'll be covering you in prayer. I'll be following. I know what's going on. You know, they keep me informed. But at the same time, I'm on assignment to fulfill part of my destiny, my legacy, my family. And we got one girl, Rebecca, who's the last of our 20 grandchildren. and will fulfill that assignment. And so I want to fulfill it, and I want to fill it with just as much grace and strength and power. One of the things about our grandchildren is they write a journal as they go, and one of the things they like to do, and our oldest one was Josiah. He was here last week, and I got to hold his baby, our great-grandson. And those that were here, it was I hadn't met him yet. My great-grandson, Josiah, did. He's 29. But when we start with Josiah 20 years ago, yeah, they would write things, and now their favorite thing when they get together with their cousins is to take the photo albums and the journals out and tell what their experience was. It's kind of like that commercial, you know, where you pay all the money for all these experiences, but nothing, no money value can compare to this. Long after we're gone, they're going to be sharing, you know what, Grandpa, the silly things that, I mean, they share the silly things that they can't share with you. Not that it's wrong, it's just silly. So we're going, that first week, we're just going to pour out to Rebecca and give her experience. And then my son-in-law, Steve, will fly down and pick her up and bring her home. And then we'll take a vacation. And just to let you know, our vacation is on the ocean, Ormond Beach, just outside of Daytona. We'll be there for a week, and then we go up to Virginia Beach, and we're on the ocean in Virginia Beach for 3 nights and 4 days. So when I'm looking at the ocean, I always think about you. Ocean's one of my favorite places to go because it reminds me how big God is. And He always gives us incredible experiences on the ocean. So we're expecting that. And so we'll be praying for you and lifting you up when we walk the beach. You know, I pray for you. And we're expecting revival to...
Amen.
I'm not saying if it breaks. I'm expecting you to go to higher, individually and corporately, that when we come back, we go, whoa, who is this congregation? What happened to the one that I left? Woo! So, Father, I just thank you right now. I don't know if I gave enough time for them in Super Church because I took a lot of time, but let me pray. Father, we thank you that we are in a law right now before the storm. But there's two storms brewing. There's a storm of the natural that we can see happening, Father, and it's a storm that is almost like the perfect storm, the political, the financial, just all the, Father, mountains converging together, creating this perfect storm in the natural. But Father, there's another storm brewing offshore, and we thank you for the waves that we've rode in the Spirit, the revivals of the past. And we thank you, Father, that our eyes are fixed on Father Jesus, and that He's orchestrating right now. He's blowing a wind. I think of Elijah when he said to his servant, go and look, because there's a storm brewing. And he ran and he looked and he said, there's nothing out there, it's blue sky. And he let him do that 7 times. Finally, they saw a hand. And he says, gird up your loins. And it says, Elijah ran before Ahab's chariot. It was a race of about 22 miles. He outran Ahab's chariot in the mud and in the storm because the Spirit of God came on him. And so, Father, there's a storm that's going to supersede the natural storm.
Yes.
It's a tsunami wave of the Spirit. And you're preparing your church, your body, to ride that wave. And not to just ride that wave, but to keep looking at the other waves that are forming in the distance. Because I believe you're releasing wave after wave, even as in the natural, Father. There's a hurricane after hurricane that seems to be farming off the coast of Africa. But Father, there's in heaven waves of revival, waves of anointing, waves of the supernatural that are just building in intensity, not just a category 2 or 3 or 4 or even a 5, but Father, a historic biblical tsunami wave. And Father, we're waiting for the big one. We'll take the little ones as they come. We'll ride them, Father, to shore. But Father, we're looking for the big one, the one that, Father, will perfect your church. That, Father, your church will be without spot and without wrinkle. One that, Father, will bring the fullness into the earth. And that the Father can say to Jesus, his Son, now's the time.
Yes.
Rise up.
Yes.
Now's the time. Go. Bring my church, my family home. And so, Father, I thank you and praise you. Yes, there's thunder, storms, lightning storms. Father, storms in the natural that seem so massive. They're even calling some of them biblical proportions. We thank you. Nothing is biblical but what you initiate. And we thank you. The greatest storm is a tsunami of your presence and your fullness. So we pray Ephesians chapter 4. We pray, Father, that we'll grow up, we'll mature, we'll come into the fullness of Jesus individually and corporately, that, Father, we'll stay connected, we'll protect the unity of the Spirit and the unity of the faith, Father. We'll guard one another when one's up. Father, we thank you that we hold them up that are strong. And then, Father, we thank you right now that all authority in heaven and earth have been given to us.
Yes.
And we hear the sound of the tsunami that says, go to the other side.
Yes.
We're not seeing what the other side looks like, where we're going to land. But Father, we know in this preparation, we're gone. So our eyes are fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we thank you, not only is he the finisher of our faith, but Jesus is our faith.
Yes.
And so the shield of faith is Jesus right now. Our eyes are fixed on him. And when we pray in the Spirit, we're building up our most holy faith. And so we thank you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we thank you, the more we hear, we keep hearing more and more. As we hear more and more, our faith is expanding. And we strengthen that faith when we pray in the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Father, that we're fighting the good fight of faith. It's a good fight because Jesus is on our side. And even though all we know is go to the other side, we're going to the other side. We get in the boat and we're following you as we've set our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you right now for the time we're living in. I shake off those right now, Father, that are weary. Weary and well-doing. We thank you they shake that off right now. And Father, as they readjust, we thank you that you get them back on assignment. You said the path of the righteous is like the first dawn of day that grows brighter and brighter until the full day manifests. So we thank you, Jesus. We're on a path of righteousness. And you're manifesting. As we stay on that path, we choose to keep our eyes fixed on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's make this confession of our faith. And if you've never done this, do it together. There's something powerful. It's like us making our declaration, our decree as one when we confess Jesus as Lord of our life. And if you've never done that, or if you have, it's all right. Get born again again.
Amen.
So let's pray this together. Say, Father,
in the name of Jesus,
I thank you for loving me. That you loved me so much, that you sent your Son Jesus. And I thank you, Jesus, that you loved me so much, that you saw beyond the cross. You saw me. And so I believe in my heart that when you went to the cross, I went to the cross with you. My sins were nailed to that cross. I became one with you. And when you were buried in the grave, my old man was buried with you. And then on that third day, when you came out of the grave, I came out of the grave with you. and the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I believe you were raised from the dead. And I confess you as Lord of my life. Come, rule and reign over my life. And now I pray and ask you, you fill me. Because I'm a believer. I'm a child of God. I'm part of the body of Christ. I ask you now to fill me with your Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. I ask that you fill me more. Fill me once again. I keep coming. I keep drinking. And I keep being filled. Fill me now. Stir up your most holy faith now and just begin to pray in the Spirit. Let it flow. Bo shandara ra ra ha ha, bo ra ba ba shake karandara ro bo ho ho ho. Yay! Fan that fire, fan the fire of God on the inside of you. Karaha, buraho, zandara ha 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 ze, bo shandara da ha. Now we encourage you. It says these signs shall follow them that believe. The only thing that terms if you believe or not. You can be filled. They will speak with tongues. They will lay hands on the sick.
Yes.
So the thing that hinders us from laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover and speaking in tongues is our faith. That's why the devil is after your faith. Fight the good fight of faith. I mean, you know, when I pray in tongues, you don't know how many times they bombards and says, "What do you think you're doing? That's crazy stuff." But I'll tell you, when I stay with it, my faith gets built up. But you can't build up something that's not there. That's why the Word. We start with the Word. Get the Word on the inside. Do whatever it takes to get the Word in you. And then when you stir it up, there's a strength in your faith to step out. Amen? We're not backing down from this. I'm telling you, the greatest attack to the body of Christ right now is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's divided the body, and I'm not making apologies for it. I've had too many testimonies of people here and people watching that says if when we do this confessing Jesus and receiving the Holy Spirit, they're getting, man, explosions in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. It's not for the young or the old. You know, you're new in the body of Christ. You can flow in the things of the Spirit. Amen? So we're not just praying for the gifts to come down. We are the gift of Holy Spirit.
Come on. Yes.
We are revived. You're a walking revival. Do you know that?
Yes.
Waiting to happen. And all creation is waiting for you to come out. Be free in Jesus' name. Amen? Father, I just seal right now on each one. We pray right now, miracles, signs, healings right now are our portion. We send it to those that are watching right now, Father, to Devante. We thank you for healing him. We thank you for Robert Fuller. Thank you for Sandy Harshman. Thank you for Helen Campbell. Thank you, Father. We see Kay here, and we continue restoration in her body. We thank you for Eric, Father, and continue healing in his body. We thank you for those that, Father, are pressing in because you told them to cross over, go to the other side. And so, Father, they're staying engaged, and we release the anointing. We send the word into those that are watching, those that, Father, are Father, standing in faith. We stand with him. Richard Powell right now, we break, Father, this weariness over him in the name of Jesus and speak to him and Janice and say, be healed right now.
Yes.
Be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. Release that, Father, to all those that are connected, Father, with Your body in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give Him praise. Hallelujah. Well, Monday night, ladies, you can go to the Woman's Glow and continue, pick up what's going on in the body. And then next Wednesday, you want to be here, pick up with coming out at 7 o'clock for the Perfect with Prophet Susie. And next week, you don't want to miss that with Prophet Susie ministering. And the next 3 weeks, you don't want to miss anything. It may, you know, people say, you know, I'm just waiting on revival. Revival just might break out. I know it's breaking out to a different level, but I mean, man, once it hits, whew, we'll worry about making, doing all things decent and order when it breaks out. When all things break out, we'll make sure it's done decent and order. Until then, I want all things to break out.
Amen.
Amen. So take the, you know, as Jesus set the demonic free, you know, and He's setting us free. So go in the power of His might and strength. Greet someone. Greet two or three people. Bless them in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Yes.